New Orleans is back. Almost 10 years after Katrina all but swept away that eccentric city, leaving only 230,000 people where before they had been more than twice that many, today their numbers have rebounded to nearly 370,000. Fewer are African American now, about 60 instead of 67%. Their incomes are lower than when Katrina struck, while those of whites have held steady, according to one researcher. Crime remains high, twice the national average. Even so, the Huffington Post has reported that nobody is living in FEMA trailers anymore, and flood protection is better than it ever was. What's more, New Orleans' economy is growing again. It was shrinking before Katrina. And a study at Tulane notes that the hurricane demolished one of the worst school systems in the country. Now, under a new approach, charter schools outnumber those run by the district by 2-1. This heretofore unheard-of emphasis on innovation and school autonomy isn't perfect, but it's beginning to pay off. The number of people living in poverty is said to be about the same, 27%, but a lot of college graduates have moved to the Big Easy. And as a result, restaurants are more plentiful and plenty full as well, as in noisy and jammed. Visitors rolling their bags behind them stroll the streets in gladdened hotels. Mayor Mitch Landrieu says he can't bring New Orleans back as it was, but he wants to make the city into what it should have been. His predecessor, Ray Nagin, mayor during the crisis of Katrina, has checked into a federal prison in Texarkana, convicted of bribery and money laundering, among 20 counts. He checked out of New Orleans and bought a house in Frisco, near Dallas, not long after his indictment. But none of this is unusual for politicians in Louisiana. Besides, that's the last thing you would hear about on Bourbon Street, where music is everywhere, sometimes at 4 in the afternoon. With blues of the night comes also the whistle of a train, serious but not insistent, reticent rather, a bit embarrassed that it was railroads to the north that flung their steely arms across the continent, embracing the west and catapulting Chicago into a beefy hegemon that would eclipse the crab and shrimp and spinach-covered oysters Rockefeller of New Orleans. Even so, barges still push enormous bats of sulfur and long metal rods down the Mississippi to the port that once dominated the Gulf of Mexico, reminding that a former senator from Ireland may have been right when he said not so long ago that true wealth must be manufactured or mined. Certainly the Howard Hughes Corporation knew something about attracting wealth when it created the outlet collection at Riverwalk in downtown New Orleans, between the water and the railroad. Neiman Marcus Last Call, Guess, even Café du Monde with authentic beignets, they're all there. It would be a terrific idea for Dallas, near Trinity Groves. But Dallas is a mid-country, mid-century city, straining now toward a fresh version of itself. New Orleans, like Charleston, Savannah, and Santa Fe, is drenched in history. Tragic, cruel, defeated, defiant, but essential to anyone who wants to understand America.